I don't really have time.
I heard they put a microchip inside of you, and then you become magnetic.
I don't want to turn into a zombie.
I'm young, so I guess I'll just keep wearing my mask.
But you know what I was thinking?
I want to stay with my grandmother again.
And I want to join the baseball team this year.
I want to go to the movies in a theater and get a giant popcorn with butter.
I want to graduate with my friends.
And take a plane to Italy to see Rome.
Let's get vaccinated!
Visit nyc.gov/vaccinefinder or call 877-VAX4NYC to get your free COVID-19 vaccine.
What are we gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, mothers and fathers, align saving kids, kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health struggles, including addiction. If you know someone that needs a referral for a therapist, an inpatient or outpatient program, parent support groups, please give us a call, 718-758-0400. We have groups still by Zoom. We have Sunday night, Dr. Shmuel Brachfeld, Monday night, Dr. Debbie Ackman, Tuesday night in person in Brooklyn, and Wednesday night, Rabbi Dr. Ben-Zion Tversky. Again, I'll repeat the number. Maybe it's for yourself, a loved one, a neighbor, or someone you usually would sit next to in shul. Our number again, 718-758-0400. I'd like to welcome on a dear friend, a colleague, someone that I know for 23 years. Actually, I met her a year after I started Mask, and that is Rivka Weber, LCSW. I'd like to welcome you on tonight. Thank you. Coming on. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me.
Rivka, it's okay. I hope that I'm addressing you as Rivka. I'm
so sure. Like so, it better.
Yeah, Rivka, we have been working with clients referring to you on different issues and struggles that they may be having. And you're a therapist, an analyst, your license, LCSW. And I know one of your specialties actually is attachment theory. You like to work with people that are struggling with attachment. Can you explain to my listeners what attachment theory actually is, please?
Sure. So very simply, we use the word attachment, but it really is a person's ability to connect to another human being. And the person we call the attachment figure is often the primary caregiver, the mother, or a very important person in the person's life and in their relationships. Right. Any more questions?
Right. So let's discuss how the knowledge of attachment therapy, affect therapy. I mean, you know, people have relationships, people grow up, there are many, many, Baruch Hashem, happy homes, there are also homes that go through struggles, whether it's abuse, whether it's divorce, a death of a parent, a young parent, Lolano. So let's talk about understanding it when it comes to therapy, please.
Yeah, this is absolutely very important because it's very nice to get into the academics and the fancies. You're right. And if anybody wants to know more, they could always look it up. In therapy itself, as you've said, most people come into therapy because their most important relationships are in trouble and they are troubled by it on a daily basis. It's a huge factor that propels people, the pain that propels people into therapy. Now, how or why the person's relationship got troubled, because people don't enter a relationship saying, I am now going to consciously at least hurt myself and attach myself to a person who's going to be a cause of huge pain in my life. People don't do that. We look for pleasure, for peace, for serenity, for attunement. So how that relationship got troubled, from a relational or attachment theory perspective, is very key to the therapist understanding, conceptualizing, and then developing an intervention strategy. There are styles. And that's what Bowlby, the father of attachment theory, who studied a lot of infants, particularly got famous after the Romanian dictator got ousted in the Romanian orphanage. He studied styles of children who were in distress, separated from their mothers, usually their mothers. And he studied and he observed that children reacted differently to the stress of separation and how the children manage, we call affect regulation, their emotions, was very different. So the therapist here is going to listen to the person say, my husband doesn't love me anymore, my child is off the derech and is choosing a different path, and we're fighting about this. And the therapist is going to ask a whole lot of questions to develop a good understanding of how did they get into trouble, and what style are they using? And now what style can we use to develop a cure?
You know, Rivka, there is no manual when you get married of bringing up children. And everybody makes mistakes. But a lot of people bring in their own parenting, their own parents' parenting style to their, you know, family. So you get then emerging two families that are coming together and getting married. And then there are two different parenting styles possibly. Can you first discuss the different styles of attachment in brief, please?
For first of all, your point is absolutely excellent, insightful, and very well taken. I would say it's not only two families that are merging. Unconsciously, we're merging many, many more. So yes, you're right. How does that affect? What are the differences in style? And how would we actually, I'm going to give you some clinical examples. Look at this from in La Masa in the therapy room. So basically, there are four attachment styles. Very simple. The first one is what we call the secure. This is the person who is able easily to receive love and to give love. They end up being well-liked people, easygoing, a pleasure to work with, not complicated. That's simple. Those are the people you never see in therapy, right? The second, but it's still a style, and it's a style we would like to get people to. The second one is what we call the anxious, preoccupied style. And the reason why these styles are important for the therapist to understand is because it's been demonstrated in research, and we firmly believe that your early attachment input, the styles and the patterns of the way your primary caregiver, your mother, your father, aunt, a Bobby, a fantastic babysitter, a foster parent, the way they responded to you when you were very, very young, tiny and vulnerable and needed, got encrypted almost like a computer chip into your brain of how human beings work, how the world operates, how relationships will be. And you're going to reenact them in life. You're going to expect people later on in life to behave to you the way it was shown to you. That's why this is so important. So the second type is the anxious, preoccupied type of person. And this is style is the person who's very insecure about relationships. They may not come across that way, and they're very preoccupied, and they're always expecting someone to be disloyal, cheat them, abandon them. They're very preoccupied of being dropped off and nobody there, or cheated or lied to, because this is what adult people somehow did to them, or they experienced that. The third type is where the baby, let's say, was dropped off without enough warning and initiation by the mother for some reason. The mother even could have gotten divorced or unfortunately severely ill and handicapped, or even died unable to care for the baby. But here the baby gave up on looking for the child, the mother, for comfort, for security. So that child learned to become very independent and dismissive. They grow up to be a very dismissive, avoidant person. The smart ones become highly independent, very focused on the industry. They make very good lawyers, accountants, CEOs, but they're very dismissive and numb to their feelings and to the other people's feelings. They don't make good spouses. They have a difficult time being good parents and being empathic. They don't like people to be independent on them. Dependent on them and to be emotionally needy. It's too much for them. They run away from emotionality or drama to the extent that they come across as aloof, but they're very capable often. And the fourth one is the most difficult and complex, and that is the disorganized, avoidant attachment style. And this is where the mother or the primary caregiver was both dismissive and nurturing and comforting at the same time. And the child was very confused and predictable. And unfortunately, these are the people I see a lot. These are the people, they're very complicated because they were so confused in early life, and they are very vulnerable towards physical, emotional, sexual, all types of abuses, because they seek comfort. It's familiar. Not like the dismissive person who avoids and hates someone who's comforting. Don't be nice to me. I'll do on my own. Not like the avoidant, preoccupied person. Soon you're going to abandon me. This one seeks comfort, but they will be vulnerable and not read the cues of being abandoned.
And all of these make a big impact in one's life, one way or the other.
Huge, yes.
Right, right. So, you know, you mentioned somebody that's off the derech. You gave that as an example.
Yes.
And there are, unfortunately, lots of, you know, young adults that are on their own journey, we call it. So parents often question what would be the best actual problem-solving style for when, you know, somebody is looking for help, that maybe there was something going on in their life earlier on years, and now their child is on their own journey. What do you want to actually offer to those parents?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first question is to have a very good assessment and understanding. First of all, they're huge. Just like our faces are different, our personalities are different, Maimonides, Rambam, and there are huge amount of reasons why children will all of a sudden express an off-the-derech style. Sometimes it's just developmental, healthy. A little bit, the parent may not like it, but it's fine. It's just the child is in on the developmental chart, cycle, psychologically, in an individuation process, which is good and healthy. We need children to individuate and eventually separate from the family of origin and build their own nest, their own family. If it's that, the therapist says, calm down. You're not so much in control, and that's okay. And let the child be. That's fine, right? So understand and make a good assessment. The question is when it's deeper than that. And then the question is, the therapist wants to understand what attachment style is the child really seeking? And they're still young enough where we can fix it. That's the good news. And how are both of the parents understanding, conceptualizing, reacting to this problem? What is their own attachment to their marriage, their spouses, and where they came from? Exactly, Rahama, as you spoke to before. And the main point that the therapist has to understand is there's no such thing really when it comes to emotional problems as good parenting versus bad parenting, the right way or the wrong way. The issue for a good analyst is let's explore, let's dig deeper, let's go further, because nothing is good or bad, nothing's black and white. And in the room, we get to hear everybody on a very much deeper level. And in a way, they're talking to themselves, but they're being heard and validated without judgment. And we're exploring. And the actual exploration process from the parents, and maybe it could be the first conversation a couple could be having with themselves. They could have been married for 20 years. Maybe they never even had this conversation amongst themselves. Actually jumpstarts a reflective, more thoughtful, wise approach to how they're going about their stress now for their child.
So let's talk about COVID, and kids and families have been home all these months, going back now in the world. And, you know, parents really had a lot of extra stress because of COVID. Yes. And maybe their attachment styles, you know, shuckled a little more than usual because of the extra layers of COVID. What have you been seeing now since people are coming for more open to going to a therapist? Have you been seeing some changes?
Yes, enormously. COVID has been very stressful. I do have to say part of it was what was there before just erupted into full Zoom, full focus to people's faces. Let's say they lived in a small apartment. Panasa wasn't great. Or the husband was home too much. COVID just like put people, everybody in this small cramped area. And it really wasn't good. And we all do need our space. That was a huge part of it. Other part of it is that typically in human beings, all of us, we're all the same. When we're stressed, we tend to regress. The brain will go to previous areas of comfort or what worked for us. And I have found that people, mature, functioning, just went to old patterns, possibly of self-nurturance or a little bit obsessive and the addictive style of behaviors. People turn to food for comfort, smoking, some unfortunately substance abuse, drugs. Some unfortunately got obsessed with money. They got very nervous and they entered some shady deals or illegal stuff. And some people had no patience for their children. And you know, this was regressive behavior. When I'm seeing people now, the goal is to get them into a higher level of functioning again with understanding, compassion, asking a lot of questions, listening to them without judgment.
Absolutely. Rivka, I'm wondering if you can tell my listeners what your style of therapy is, please.
Oh, yeah. So they call it modern psychoanalysis, which is a whole highfalutin, not to scare anyone off, fancy word, but the theoretical assumptions are like this. We've bridged together brilliant ideas from classical traditional analysis, which was very busy with that most of human behavior ends up being an expression of your unconscious, out of the realm of your consciousness. Like unconsciously, you're really very angry at someone, or you're very jealous, but you're not comfortable with that. And as from people, we know these are no-go zones. So we repress the behavior. We act all nice and civil by a wedding. I was yesterday by a wedding, and we smile and we say Mazel Tov, and we Baruch Hashem our ways all through the night, and we act all nice and sweet. But we'll make a comment about someone's shaitel or makeup or jewelry. I'm just saying this, it's fresh in my mind. Or men in shul, that isn't that nice. And we're not aware of it. And it's jealousy. So in traditional analysis, it's about uncovering what your raw emotions are, meeting the unconscious to the conscious. Why is that important? Because people who go through life very unaware of who they really are underneath, raging or jealous or wanting or needy or emotionally hungry people, have no clue how they destroy themselves, sabotage their job opportunities, their dating opportunities, and their life. And it's a lack of awareness. So that's one huge part. The other part is we have borrowed a lot and bridge a lot attachment theory, but what's the style? What's the question the person's asking? What fits this persona, this configuration of personality development to what would be the best? I do a lot of dating coaching to the what would be the best fit for this person. Now, how do I know all that information if I'm just locked in this therapy hour for 50 minutes in the room? I observe what's going on in the space between me and the client in those 50 minutes. How are they relating to me? How are they responding? How are they reacting? Because it's believed that a lot of that will happen outside the room. Are they angry at me? Are they too early, too late? Are they nitpicking me? Are they taking notes? Are they critical? Do they have huge expectations of quick magic cures? And the goal in modern psychoanalysis is to develop such a high level of self-awareness that the person has developed their own toolkit for problem solving in life. Get them out of the therapy room as fast as possible. No, don't sit with them for 100 years. Don't make them dependent. That was the huge critique in traditional analysis. Modern is get them out, create the awareness, make it light, make them aware in a very safe way, and have them listen to themselves and problem themselves. In modern psychoanalysis, it's a sin to give an insight. You want the client to arrive to their own conclusions, and it's a big discipline.
You know, Rivka, I'm really happy you brought up also the part about get them out of the room as soon as possible, out of therapy.
Yes.
Possible, because many people want to go to therapy and they don't want to be committed for 3, 4, 5 years in therapy. They want to go, they want to get the assistance that they need in problem solving, whatever struggles they're working towards understanding. And that's such an important piece that I want my listeners to know that
Absolutely.
There are therapists that want to work with their clients and then get them healthy to be able to problem solve on their own. So thank you.
Absolutely. And let's be honest, most people don't want to or don't want to find the money to spend on therapy, and rightly so. From life is very expensive.
It is quite
It's very expensive. However, when we finally get there, sometimes people have been very injured and bruised by life for a long time. So they need a deeper approach, but the real tachlis is to get them out, right?
Absolutely. So I'm glad you brought that up. And yes, I know that that is your style. You brought up a strong word, and in therapy, you said you go digging. And digging is, you know, if you tell that to a new client, some may run the other way. But yeah. I want you to give an example, please, about, you know, so much digging that you may need to do in order for clients to understand how patterns and how attachment issues all come about in our lives today. So can you give an example, please?
Oh, it's a fantastic question. I'm so happy, Ruhama, you brought it up. Absolutely. First of all, I'd like to make it clear. My goal as an analyst is that the client doesn't get to see my own mental gymnastics and all the millions of thoughts that I'm thinking. I'm very, very concentrated and focused on the client in the room. They shouldn't feel dug at, because that is actually a very uncomfortable feeling. They're not in an interrogation room. That's number one. That's my goal. I make it very benign. So what would be a good example? A good example is, which is something I'm thinking of that I just actually saw last week. What about in a marriage where the couple both start in more or less the same level of Yiddishkeit observance, and one spouse decides to opt out and he wants a different style of Yiddishkeit? Wants to drop things that are valuable and important. And that's why the marriage is in distress. Where does the digging come in? I would very much look into the spouse that's, let's say, leaving the system. Does he have the capacity? He may have a right of choice, what he wants to do, but does he or she, do they have the capacity to be empathic to the sense of betrayal or disrespect to my valued system? Does he understand, he or she, if their children in the family, what this means for the child? The shame, children need continuity of value system and care. And maybe we're talking now that the father says, often it's the father, unfortunately, I'm saying that, I want the kid in public school from the cheder. What the trauma. And children need to belong, and children might be emotionally bullied, or there is an identity crisis. Is that really what's going on? And if I find through their attachment way that they have the capacity to be empathic, I might use that a lot. However, where do I do the digging? I've got to distinguish, and I also very much believe that good intervention follows a thorough understanding, conceptualization, understanding very deeply where people are from. If people are not well understood, they will run away from therapy. They will feel disrespected, not valued, and she doesn't get me. Why am I wasting this big box for? And they're right. They'll flee. So my second question would be, or am I looking at someone who at the get-go is personality disordered? This person may or may not be a type of a narcissist. It's all about themselves and have very little regard for the consequences and effects of their choices. I'm out to enjoy life. From life is too difficult and heavy for me. And I don't care if you're uncomfortable. This is about me. So that's where that's what I mean about digging. And remember, if people come to therapy to feel heard and understood, because the people in their lives are not understanding them. Right. So we can only understand them on a deeper level. Yep.
Well, thank you, Rivka. We're running out of time. I really want to thank you so much for being on with us tonight. Always nice speaking with you.
It's been a pleasure.
What an important topic. And let me wish everybody a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos. And always remember, hang in, hold on, and virtually for now, hug tight. please go on to maskparents.org to donate so we can continue with these wonderful programs for the CLAL. Tonight's show is in memory of Rivka Bas Yisroel. Thank you and have a good night.